God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for the basis of today's message is from our gospel reading from John chapter 9. Let me begin with something hopefully a little humorous. It has been suggested that the differences among Lutherans occurred with our text when the healed blind men finally met each other for the first time. At first, you know, they were kind of excited about the miracle of sight that Jesus had given them. But as they talked about how Jesus healed them, they began to discover some significant differences. For some, the healing came with a simple touch from Jesus. See Matthew 9 and Matthew 20. Another proudly boasted that he had enough faith so that Jesus didn't even have to touch him to perform the miracle. See Mark 10. Another meekly explained that Jesus not only touched him twice, but also spit on his eyes in order for him to see clearly. See Mark 8. The final one really felt embarrassed to admit that even though a touch wasn't part of his healing, Jesus' spit wasn't enough. Jesus had to mix his saliva with dirt and put the dirt, now mud, on his eyes, and then told him to go and wash in some pool of water. Our text for today. Since each one thought his healing was normal and better than the others, they divided into spitties and non-spitties, muddites and non-muddites, touchites and non-touchites. Hence, the many form of Lutheranism was born. Now, I will admit that was sort of to set the stage here. Please don't take me literally on that. If nothing else, this little description illustrates the different methods that the gospel writers report on how Jesus healed blind people. The healing in the Gospel of John is unique. Its use of mud and the dirt or the clay made from the saliva and the combination with the command to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. It begs the question, though, what difference does it really make? Does it really make a difference whether Jesus actually touched him or he didn't touch him? Whether he spit on him or not spit on him? Whether he used mud or not mud? Isn't the end result really what the people were looking for? They were healed. They were able to see. And not only were they able to see, the most important thing is that they were able to see spiritually. Yes, they were physically healed, and they were spiritually healed. For this would be cause of great celebration. Unfortunately, our human nature gets the best of us. And some still begrudge the event, saying, Jesus isn't consistent. So Jesus is here, using divine spit with some dirt. Well, to the ones who like to begrudge, this was the reason why he used the dirt. You see, using the dirt and sort of mixing it with the saliva is a little bit like kneading. Okay, I'm a guy, I don't make bread, so just humor me with this analogy. It's probably not as hard as making bread, but anyway, let's just go on with this. And kneading was forbidden on the Sabbath. So needless to say, for those who were watching and heard the story being told over and over again, you're just chalking this up as those who are begrudging and sitting there going, Jesus doesn't obey the Sabbath. It's bad enough he healed and made someone's eyes able to see, but he also was kneading while he was doing it. Jesus then anoints the man's eyes with this mixture and tells him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And more than likely, the pool of Siloam was more than so many paces from where he was. And again, Jesus was commanding him to do work that was beyond that of the Sabbath. Now here's another question. Why the pool? Did the man need a bath for some reason? Well, the answer is because Jesus said so. That's why. He didn't with the other blind men, some who would begrudge would note. why this one? I would just give you the answer. I don't know why. But it is a beautiful connection to the healing of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, and it's also a wonderful comparison to our own baptism. Why does God, for our own baptism, take ordinary water and say, oh, by the way, use these words and a special miracle occurs? The miracle of forgiveness of sins and God's name being placed upon you. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. All because of the special water? No. Because of the special pastor? Again, no. But because of Jesus and his command. Because in that command you have Jesus. Please note that it was not the spit, nor the mud, nor the water that heals the man, but Jesus. Likewise, during our own baptism, it's not the pastor. It's not the way I eloquently say the words. It's not the most holy water that comes from the West Chicago tap. It's Jesus. At his command, his presence, he makes it possible. Jesus, through his word, brings healing and life into the one being baptized. And now back to this wonderful miracle. The wonderful miracle and the joy of someone who now sees. You can almost imagine he wants to jump up and down and shout to the world, but the begrudgers try to salvage the day again. They're not to be left unnoticed. There is an inquisition, in case if you were wondering and marveling the length of the gospel reading for today. They just couldn't accept a simple physical healing, could they? An investigation had to be taken into matters. They bring in the man who was healed. They apparently didn't believe him, and so they bring in his parents. And then they bring the man back again, because the begrudgers are hung up on a particular concept. The concept, strangely enough, that even some of us today have a difficult time struggling with. And that concept is actually revealed in our gospel reading, the first verses 2 and 3. When the disciples, Jesus' own disciples, ask Jesus, it shows the disciples didn't even know everything at this moment either. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. The thought back then, and unfortunately it still occurs now, is that God punishes you for specific sins that you commit here and now. And if you rack up so many of these specific sins, he'll even bring them on to the next generation to pay for that. Wow, that's a big burden. Now, I will admit, there are some, and let me call them natural consequences for one's action. If you rob a bank, you go to jail. God doesn't like you to rob banks, but this is a natural consequence, and this isn't divine punishment. So what is a sin? Sin is basically being separated from God, open rebellion, so to speak. An individual sin is not the reason why someone was born blind. And by the way, an individual sin will not keep you from the kingdom of God either. What will keep you from the kingdom of God? Rejection of God's grace. Unfortunately, sin is in disobedience to God is then sort of like pulling away from God's grace. Plain and simple is when you look to the cross of Jesus. Do you not realize that God has taken the punishment of sin away from you and attached it to Jesus? God's anger for sin was taken care of when Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sin. So it is on the cross we see the punishment of sin. Why do we have the cross in our chancel area with Jesus hanging on it? As a reminder, that's where God punishes our sins, upon the cross, so that he may look at each and every one of us with loving and caring eyes. The begrudgers, however, are not convinced of this argument and want to continue the discussion. They would pose the question this way. Why would God allow this blindness to continue when God could have stopped it at birth? Why did this man have to wait to be healed? I will admit that is a fair question. Going back to the time of Jesus, there were many people who were blind during the time of Jesus. Not all of them were healed. There were many people who were lame. Not all of them were healed. Many people who had leprosy. Not all of them were healed. There were many people who died during the time of Jesus. And only a few were raised from the dead. Why this one and not another one? We really don't know the answer. But let me explain this in a little bit of a different way. Jesus does these physical healings to grab our attention, to point us to something that's more important, the spiritual healing of our text. Too often our mind is so consumed with our own sufferings, our own griefs, our own weights of sin that we have to bear, that we're only thinking of ourselves, and we lose sight of the spiritual healing. Enough of that. We need to celebrate the real celebration of the healing. Yes, we want to praise God for the healing of the physical sight that he was able to give, but especially we want to praise God for the spiritual healing that he gives to each and every one of us. Near the end of our text, we have the second miracle, so to speak. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. At that point, you could almost have the heavens open up and all the angels shout in triumph. The wonderful miracle of someone who is now being saved by God's grace. Yes, he's now able to see, but his physical blindness should not overshadow the once spiritual blindness that he can now see. Here is where the true miracle of this account. A sinner who was once outside of God's grace now has God's grace with his forgiveness. In our own lives, sometimes we are a little short-sighted with our own physical blindness. In our own life, we may begrudge many for what we see as the various injustices of life, unfair practices. We may be jealous because others have more and we have less. We may be under a great deal of personal pain beyond anyone else's imagination. Outside, we may look great, but inside, we may be torn apart. This isn't God's doing because of his wrath for your sin, because God has already taken out his wrath upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does God want to do in this situation? He wants to bring peace into our lives full of turmoil. God brings spiritual healing to the brokenness of our lives. True, we may think the physical ones is what we really need. Wouldn't it be nice to have the miracle lottery numbers? But the spiritual healing is what we really need. Can we get past our own physical blindness to see the spiritual healing that truly comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the healing that he has given to us, and to cherish that as the beautiful miracle that Christ has given to us, and not to begrudge any of the crosses and pains, the difficulties of life and the challenges that also may be upon us, because we know we have a God who says, "I forgive you and I will sustain you. I will help you through the trials and temptations of this world so that you can be with me into eternal life." What's more important, eternal life or the winning lottery ticket numbers? This is one of the reasons why we want to teach God's word here at Trinity. why it's so important for us to communicate God's love and His forgiveness, to teach that love and forgiveness that God gives is more important than anything. And we are blessed here at Trinity to have an opportunity to bring God's love to our early childhood care center, to our after-school care program, along with our Sunday school and our vacation Bible school, along with the many other educational and opportunities we have besides the divine service, because we have the wonderful blessing and responsibility to educate and to teach so many young people in the importance of God's love for them, to have them open up their eyes beyond the physical things of this world to see the spiritual healing that Christ, our Savior, brings to all. Tomorrow, we'll actually begin National Lutheran Schools Week. And we rejoice with all our Lutheran schools across the nation and the world. We rejoice with all who are sharing Christ's love and forgiveness, whether they bear the name of Lutheran or not. We consider our Lutheran schools a wonderful blessing and a heritage we have, a blessing to proclaim the wonderful miracle of our Savior Jesus Christ, who brings spiritual healing to the whole world. There still may be some begrudgers out there. Don't worry. We still have many different forms of Lutheranism in today's society out now, but through the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through His forgiveness, we are united in Him. We are part of the one body of Christ, joined together because it is God who has called us out of our spiritual blindness to see Him who is the true light of the world. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.